Welcome to When They Popped. Let's rewind to a simpler time together and dive deep into the music, movement, and mania behind our favorite Y2K celebrities and trends. Hosted by Kelsey and Mary, it's time for another episode of When They Popped.
Hello, and welcome to When They Popped. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Mary. You guys, we are in October now. Happy spooky season for all of you who celebrate. And Kelsey and I decided that this was also going to be a Britney-themed-ish month. And let me tell you why. I want to get into this. First things first, I always associate the changing of seasons to fall and like the colder months with Britney Spears. I thought this was just like a weird me thing, but then looking back, I understood why. We got the release of arguably one of her best albums, Blackout, back in October of many, many moons ago. Britney and In the Zone came out in November, and Circus came out in December. So some of my favorite Britney albums came when the air started to get a bit chillier and the sun started setting earlier. Full disclaimer, I live in Florida now, and seasons are no longer a thing, but I think I truly hold on to these memories. Like, these are core seasonal memories for me, people, and there was just nothing better than getting home from school. It was already dark out, and just loading that new Britney Spears album into your Walkman. Am I alone in this?
I just thought that you associate every season with Brit.
Well, that is also a fair point. I stand corrected. Well, we don't want to drive you all away because I realize not all of you are as obsessed with Mother Spears as I am. We figured to celebrate Blackout's 16th birthday in October and the upcoming release of her book, Woman and Me, we would have multiple Britney-themed episodes this month. And today we have our first of two guests, and we are really kicking it off with a bang. Our guest today is former Britney Spears backup singer, Kelly Klinger. Kelly sang with Britney on her 1999 Baby One More Time tour. And this was like Britney's first tour out of the mall sphere. Remember when we all saw those videos of her performing in like front of a JCPenney's?
Oh my God, yes. And I was always like, why can't they do this at my mall?
I know, they were never at ours. They were never at our malls. But this was like right when she was on the verge of exploding. Or in our terms, she was about to pop the F off. And Kelly has spoken openly about how wonderful Britney is, and we decided we need to have her on to pick her brain and get some fun stories about the Princess of Pop. Kelly also spent a lot of her young pivotal years in Orlando, when Orlando was like the place to be if you had any aspirations of making it in the business. She worked with Lou Pearlman, Johnny Wright, rubbed elbows with the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Oh, and on that note, Justin Timberlake sang at her freaking wedding. Like, how do you top that? You don't. But most of all, Kelly is seemingly just a wonderful person all around. And to be honest, this is my Super Bowl. I'm sweating. So without further ado, here's our episode with the incredible Kelly Klinger. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me and thinking that I have anything important to say.
Oh, you do. Especially for our audience. You definitely do.
Kelly, oh my gosh, you have so many important things to say. And we thought it would be fun to kick things off with a little icebreaker. We don't mean to put you on the spot here, but as our podcast name suggests, we are all about the Y2K era and its music. And since you were rubbing shoulders with the ultimate icons of this time, we wanted to ask you if you could pick just one song from the Y2K era to describe your personality, what would it be?
Sometimes ooh. I run.
Dang, that's a good one.
I mean, when you think about, you know, we're all in fight or flight mode, I feel like sometimes, sometimes is quite relatable. Gosh, that's a hard one. To describe my personality now or my personality then?
That's a great qualifier. Either or.
I should have sent you this in advance. I've
totally that is, yeah, you should warn us. You should warn us.
I'm trying to think of mine too, so
I
don't
know,
worry.
No, you're going through like every NSYNC album.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Mine is actually an NSYNC song. It's Thank God It's Friday Night.
Yes.
Because I'm a Capricorn and we're very motivated and we yes. work really hard. So that's why.
True. I was thinking maybe I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
Ooh.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a hard. That's a hard question. There were so. I mean, of course, like at my age, I think music then was the best. So it's really hard for me. Yeah, it was. It is.
What?
It's so funny because I work in a pharmacy. Just today, I was standing next to a guy who's 19, and I said, "Have you ever heard of Y2K?" And he was like, "No, what is that?"
What?
I'm like, I'm going to have to start educating all of the young people because I have two kids that are 21 and 27, and they are very familiar with all of that. So
do your kids think you're cool? Like what you did was cool?
It's funny because at first they didn't think it was cool at all because they're just kids and they're like, moms aren't cool. But, you know, I don't know if you've heard the story about Evan, my oldest. So Evan goes by they, them pronouns as to not confuse anyone, but out of respect for them, I'm going to use those. So I don't want to confuse anyone. But Evan's name came from when I was pregnant with Evan. I was sitting in what we called the NSYNC house because it was this little rental house that Lou had gotten them that looked like it was built in the 70s. And it was like the most horrible floral couch and whatever. And I was as pregnant as can be. This was 1996, and I was sitting there, and I just found out I was having a girl, and I was, like, talking to Lynn, Justin's mom, and I was like, I don't know what I want to name. I have no idea what I want to name her. And she said, well, if Justin was a girl, I was going to name him Evan, E-V-I-N. And I was like, oh, I really like that. Can I have that? And he was like, I'm not having any more kids. You're welcome to have it. So that's where Evan got their name from. So when she got old enough to understand the story, of course, then they were like, that's the coolest thing ever. My son is 21 and lives in New York and does Broadway. So he just thinks it's funny because he tells people and no one believes him.
That's so cool.
Like, Mom, I've had to pull up your YouTube video for so many people. So they think it's really cool because I sang on the first album. I have no credits. You won't find my name anywhere. I went in to do the scratch vocals and I didn't even know they left my own vocals in there until I heard it on the radio.
Stop.
So when my kids hear anything off the first album, they're like, Mom, that's you.
Oh my God, they recognize your voice?
Yeah, they recognize my voice. They know my voice so well.
Where can I hear you?
Okay, so I'm on all the songs.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm on all the songs. And then, so the first headlining tour when she did And the Beat Goes On and she did the Janet Jackson medley. She did Open Arms. I'm on all those. If you go back and watch any of that footage, all those background vocals are me and Kylie, who was the other background singer. Long way around that story. I don't know that my kids have ever thought I was cool, but, you know, it's a cool story to tell for sure.
You have so many cool stories and we want to get to all of them. And we'd love to start at the very beginning, before Britney, before Justin serenaded you at your wedding. Can you tell us, how did you get started in the business?
You know, I kind of, it's a joke in my family. I came out singing, I came out singing show tunes. I have a sister who's 5 years older than me and hated my guts because I was always like, la, 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 la. Like, I was just, that's just who I was. So I started out like everyone else singing in church. My mom was the music minister's secretary at a big Baptist church in Mississippi. So I was always in church. So that's kind of like where I got started. And then when I was 12, we moved to Florida. I hated it. It was such a culture shock because the only thing I knew was Mississippi, which doesn't really expose you to a whole lot. So when we moved to Florida, I started watching Mickey Mouse Club. And it was so interesting to me because I was like, this is what I want to do, you know? And one just crazy thing, I used to tape it every day. And at the end, I finally heard, filmed in front of a live studio audience in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. And I was like, I don't live very far from there. So I convinced my mom to drive me and it was over. It was like, I started going all the time. And then when you're there all the time, people start to be like, who are you? You know, and why aren't you in school? So I started going to Mickey Mouse Club all the time and just kind of started out as a fan. And I ended up at Dr. Phillips High School in the performing arts program. And so I ended up in high school with a bunch of Mouseketeers. And I know it's weird.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, just like I dated Luis Fonsi.
What? Despacito? Luis Fonsi? Oh my God.
Yes.
Kelly.
I'll have to find the video, that video somewhere. I have a video because we, my senior concert, Fonsi and I did a duet together.
Oh my God.
Do your kids know that?
That's pretty cool.
That might be a new one. That might be one that I've never really talked about. So I went to school with a lot of famous people, or people who ended up being famous. I went to high school with Joey from NSYNC. And so I just became kind of friends with everyone and just sort of meshed into that group. And so when they would come back for Mickey Mouse Club, mostly during the summers, we would hang out at their apartments. We would go places, and kind of that's where it started. So I was an extra on Emerald Cove, which was a little like soap opera-ish kind of thing, like a Melrose Place that played in the middle of Mickey Mouse Club. And it really kind of escalated when I was sitting in the audience and someone comes over to me and they're like, there's a mom that wants to speak to you. And I was like, oh, my anxiety was like, I'm in trouble. I was like, okay. And it was Lynn, Justin's mom. And Justin had not been on the show for very long. So she came over and she was like, I just wanted to ask you where you get your clothes. And I was like, and the funny thing is my mom was a seamstress my whole life, and she made evening gowns for Miss America contestants. And so she would make a lot of my clothes. And so I was like, my mom made them. And from that point on, her and I were like friends. We just became really, really, really good friends.
She connected you kind of to Justin, and like, is that when it all kind of started?
Yeah, and then from hanging out, because like most of the Mouseketeers would live in the same apartment complex. And so we would all end up hanging by the pool, or we would hang in someone's apartment. And so all the younger kids, like Ryan Gosling and Justin and Christina, and they just thought the older kids, like JC and Tony and Dale, were just so cool. They all wanted to hang out. So we all kind of ended up kind of meshed together. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it started.
I know. Sorry, it's a lot for us.
These names.
Yes. I've always heard like stories about this apartment complex that everybody all lived in, would hang out together. Like, would you guys just like play cards, or like what? Like, what would you? What would you guys? I'm trying to like imagine like what
I
went
feel
on.
Sorry for anyone else who lived in that apartment complex at the time, because we were never quiet. I mean, we were all teenagers, so we were doing stupid things that teenagers do, you know. The first time I ever saw Jamie Lynn Spears, she was probably like 2 or 3, and she was butt naked running around the pool. And they were like, somebody catch Jamie Lynn, we can't catch her.
Is that so fitting? I just, yes, oh my God.
You know, it's still fitting today, right? So anyways, yeah, we would just hang out just like normal teenagers, you know.
Except not at all normal at all. So,
but even we didn't know that at the time. That's what, right. I always tell people, you know, like when I went in and they were like, we need you to record these scratch vocals. And I was like, she wasn't Britney freaking Spears, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, I'm just recording these songs. I had no clue. We didn't know. We had no idea.
And so you said you did the scratch vocals, and I learned this when listening to our dear friend James's podcast, The Original Doll. You were also a session singer. Is that the same thing?
Yes. So they will hire session singers to do scratch vocals for a lot of artists. So a lot of artists they don't learn songs incredibly quickly, or it's really hard if they're given a song and they're not familiar with it. And so they'll hire a professional to come in, sing the scratch vocal, and then they'll send that to the artist so the artist can learn the song.
Oh.
So that way you're saving time and money in the studio, because by the time they get there, they already kind of know the song. They're already familiar with it. They've already hired me to come in and, you know, give it a couple passes, and so that then they can pass it on to the artist.
Can I ask, do you have any cool session songs that we might know that you did? No pressure. That's kind of an off-the-cuff one.
So, B5.
Okay.
My vocals are all over. I can sound like a little boy. I can sound like not anybody. Candy. by Mandy Moore?
No.
Let's see. What else would you know? Several O-Town songs.
Ooh.
Because I'm good friends with Dakari, who produced a bunch of their stuff. He wrote, "Cause I Want It All."
Ah.
Nothing at all. So he wrote that. So yeah.
Okay, but so you were doing that and you were working like with Johnny Wright at Wright Entertainment and Lou Pearlman with Transcontinental. Yeah. So they're iconic in their own way, Lou in a bad way, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, I remember when I was listening to your podcast with James, you said you would just like pass like Nick Carter in the hallway. It was just like this free for all of all these like looking back teen sensation, you know, coming up stars. Did you think like Nick Carter was hot, or I heard you had a crush on JC, like, you know, what was going on with that? Just give us the tea.
Yeah, I definitely had a crush on JC during Mickey Mouse Club days. I mean, that chiseled jaw, you know what I mean? I'm happily married now, but yeah, I definitely had a crush on him, but it's such a strange environment to be in, because Backstreet Boys had already kind of become somewhat popular in the U.S.
Okay.
I remember going, I was pregnant with Evan, and I went to like a showcase or something that Backstreet Boys did at SeaWorld, of all places. And, you know, they were all so young. That's the thing, too. Is, you know, by that point, I was 20. So everyone just seemed like a child, you know, especially Nick or you know, the younger one.
The baby. Yeah.
Yeah, the baby. The baby. But I gave a voice lesson to Pink. Before she was Pink, her name is Alicia. I gave her a voice lesson that gajillion years ago. But yeah, I mean, you just, you never knew who was going to be around. And it's so funny because it was just in this weird industrial park in Orlando.
Right.
That no one ever would have thought what was going on there was going on.
That's so cool. And I want to get to kind of our reason, our main reason for this episode and kind of your origin story with Britney and how that all kind of came to fruition.
So the Britney thing, when I was working for Johnny, I was doing session work and he would hire me to do different things for different artists. And I was friends with Justin's mom at the time and she was starting to put Innocence together, which was a girl group. And Britney was supposed to be in Innocence. And so all of a sudden she was around and I hadn't seen her in years and didn't think she would remember who I was. And she saw me in the hallway and she stopped me and she was like, "Oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in forever." And so she decided to do the solo thing. And so Johnny's assistant called me and was like, "Hey, we're doing auditions for background singers for Britney's first tour." And I think I said this on James. I was like, "Isn't she doing mall tours?" Like all I could think was like, which is hilarious now. Like, who goes to the mall?
Not me.
Yeah, exactly. So if I can't get it on Amazon, I don't want it.
Right.
So she was like, "Do you want to audition?" And I had a 3-year-old already.
Wow.
And I was like, oh. And if that first tour that she did, it was like a year and a half. It was so long when I saw the dates and I was like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can be away from my kid for that long. But I was like, whatever, I'll audition. And I saw Lance actually in the hallway. I mentioned something to him and he's like, "You should totally do it. You know, if nothing else, you get to see the world and be on Jay Leno or whatever, you know." And so tons of people audition and I'm thinking, you know, this is fun. And Johnny was in there and Mark Goff was in there, who was our vocal coach. Britney was not in the auditions, but a couple days later I got a phone call and they were like, "Well, we would like to welcome you to the Baby One More Time tour. This is where you need to be and when." And yeah, I was like, oh God.
Wow.
Yeah. But she wasn't popular yet. I didn't know.
Oh, so would you consider that moment your big break, or was it more just sort of another step along the way?
It didn't feel like a big break because, like I said, she wasn't super popular yet. And so it didn't feel like a big break. It felt like, okay, I'm going to get to like do what I love and be able to travel and, you know, like have that experience. And then, you know, our tour included like Darren from Darren's Dance Grooves and Wade Robson. Yeah, like our tour included all those people. So like I had experiences with people that most people never will. And I know that now. But looking back at the time, I have no idea. When I made the tour, my mom made me this like binder with like every city I was going to be in with like a map. You know, like we didn't have GPS. So she made me this binder and I still have it somewhere. And it was like, it was so much. And then you add in Christmas specials and TV shows and award shows and all that kind of stuff. And it was a lot. Brittany was 17, I think.
She never ceases to amaze me. On that note, I think there is a general misconception that tour life is this glamorous, jet-setting type thing. But what kind of was it like being on the road for this tour? Are you on the buses and driving around?
Yeah. So me and Kylie were on the bus with the band. Brittany was on the bus with her dancers, which meant it was me and Kylie and a bunch of dudes, which was funny. And sometimes you spend the night on the bus and sometimes you spend the night in a hotel. You live out of a suitcase. It's not glamorous at all. And it's a really weird schedule to get used to. You get your nights and your days mixed up. I always tell people because people are like, they look at my resume and they're like, why do you want to work at a pharmacy? You work for Britney Spears, you know? And I'm like, the glamorous life was not for me. Like, I just, it wasn't glamorous. Yeah.
What was the preparation like? You know, I'm sure Brittany was, you guys were working on your singing together. She was doing her choreography. Was it a strenuous kind of preparation before hitting the road or?
It was really quick because we started out just working in Orlando in Johnny Wright's or in Transcontinental's studio. So that's kind of where we started learning the songs. Mark Goff had sessions with just me and Kylie where we would go over every song. And I still have that notebook that has like all of my notes in it of, you know, come in here, sing this part. This part's too high for Britney, so I need you to cover her, that kind of thing. And then we went straight into rehearsals with the band while she did her choreography. And then we went to West Palm Beach and we were there for, I believe it was 3 or 4 weeks. And that's where we practiced like on her actual stage. Okay. So it was the stage that had the staircase in the middle. Mm-hmm. Britney fans always know more than I do about you know, which tour was which and all that kind of stuff. When we walked into this ginormous warehouse place and all the lights had been turned down and the only lights that were on were the lights on the stage and it was the staircase with the pink and white chiffon. It was like, we all, including Brittany, were like, oh my God, this is real. Like, I think this might be a big deal.
So maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Just a little.
Did you and Brittany have like a Southern bond at all?
Of course.
I wondered. Yeah. Yes.
She's from Kentwood, but Kentwood is so close to Mississippi. So we always used to joke that we're probably related. So yeah, we did. We definitely had a Southern bond and she still had her Southern accent. Luckily, I got to experience a lot of Britney before the world and the paparazzi and honestly, her family kind of chewed her up and spit her out. So I got to experience the sweet, kind, innocent Britney.
And I think that's what a lot of her, like, you know, her fans, how they remember her as well and know that she is. We did a whole episode on parasocial relationships where you like think you know a celebrity, but I am convinced that I know Britney was a good girl.
Yeah, I can do a whole episode on that for sure.
That's one of the reasons why we're so grateful to talk to you today, Kelly, is because you have those real relationships and memories with Britney. So you can confirm all of the things that we've sort of projected onto her through our parasocial relationship. And obviously we think she's great and kind and goofy, so, and very involved in her craft. So it's really great to hear you validate all of those things.
Yeah. I mean, she is just one of the kindest people I've ever known. Mm-hmm. And I hate what the business did to her and how they treated her like a commodity and they treated her like she wasn't a human. And unfortunately, I think that happens way too often. When you don't have anybody around you to kind of keep an eye on you and that has your best interests at heart and doesn't look at you like a cash cow, it's really, really hard to be in that business and kind of keep it together. It's hard.
That was one question I was going to ask you was, speaking of people who looked at her like a cash cow, I remember hearing that Jamie really wasn't around in the earlier years. It sounds like Lynn was around with Jamie Lynn. Like, did you get much exposure to the family during that time?
I got some exposure to Lynn during Mickey Mouse Club days. And then Jamie, I met a couple times, I think, during that time. Mm-hmm. When I was on tour, I think he came like maybe once or twice. And Lynn hardly ever came, ever. But Felicia was the one who took care of everything. And she would talk to Lynn every day and give her updates about what was going on and that kind of thing. I love Felicia. I adore her.
What's not to love about that woman?
Oh my gosh, goodness. I know. She is gold. And the fact that any of them ever treated her like anything but that just breaks my heart, because that woman would do anything for Britney.
Now I'm going to get sad, but we're going to get to this a little bit more. But you mentioned the fandom and you said, you know, Britney fans tend to know more than I do, remember more than I do. It was so early on back then. Did she have like, was she cultivating a fandom? What was her fandom like back then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think some of it probably started, you know, when she opened for NSYNC. I think people related to her because she was just kind of this Southern girl from Louisiana. And of course, she was beautiful and talented, but she didn't feel intimidating. When you talk to her, she just felt like you and I do, you know, it wasn't. And I think it was really easy to be a fan of hers.
So she started cultivating the Britney army way back then.
Yes.
So this first tour that you were on with her, the Baby One More Time tour, she obviously did that album. She did the Janet Jackson mashup, as you said. I think she covered Material Girl, maybe by Madonna. What was your favorite one to perform?
I always laughed when we had to go, Miss Spears, If You're Nasty. The lovers say, hey, baby, it's Britney. Like, I always just felt like, I don't know, it just felt wrong. I don't know.
She's like 17.
Oh, God.
Like, because when we went in to record the background vocals for that, I'm like, what is she going to say there? Because, you know, like,
right,
it says, like, no, my first name ain't baby. It's Janet, Miss Jackson, Nasty. And so I was like, what is she going to say? So I loved Open Arms because I felt like it gave her a chance to sing, because most of the other stuff she was like singing on top of her own lead vocals, or she was singing on top of us. But Open Arms really gave her a chance to show people. It was like that nice part of her range, that really like thick, rich part of her range that we don't get to hear very often.
I wanted to talk to you about Britney's voice as well. I'd say she has a lower range. And I feel like she gets a lot of crap unjustifiably because she isn't necessarily like Christina, like belting, and she doesn't sing. Tell me about Britney's. Does Britney have a good voice? Tell me about Britney's voice.
Yes. Britney has a good voice. I mean, if you listen to Mickey Mouse Club days, Britney, when you hear like, baby, baby, when I look at you. You know, when you hear like that, you know, that's kind of what you hear on Open Arms. And I don't know when the baby voice, I don't know how that sort of came about or where it came about that she can't sing. I think a lot of it is because of all the dancing that she did, and she loved to dance. And Britney was was such a strong dancer. I don't even know where that came from. But yes, Britney Spears can sing. She wouldn't have gotten where she got to if she couldn't sing.
I would love to get just an album of songs that are perfect for her voice and just bask in that.
Like, it was sad because, like, when, like, I think it was From the Bottom of My Broken Heart, the one that was like, you promised yourself, but to somebody else. Like, those high parts, like, that wasn't really her range, you know? And so she struggled on those parts. And she was 17, you know, and felt insecure, just like every 17-year-old does. And, I mean, can you imagine being an insecure 17-year-old and having a tour?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I mean, I'm 47. I'm tired. You know what I mean?
Also, Kelly, you're just singing off the cuff here, but you have a really beautiful voice.
Thank you.
It's just worth mentioning. How creatively involved was Britney in this tour? Was it not in her hands at all at this point, or did she like to kind of have her say?
You know, at first, I think she was leery to give too much feedback, and then realized along the way, like, hey, my name is on this, and so I should be able to have a say. There were things over time that changed that she didn't like. The stairs scared the crap out of her, and she was convinced she was going to fall down those stairs. I saw that girl go up and down those stairs 8 gajillion times because she was like, I'm not going to fall. Like, I have to be comfortable with this. Wardrobe changes that she didn't like, hair. You know, they wanted her to wear all these hair extensions, and then she kind of, I think she cut her hair off for a bit.
Oh,
she
yeah, I remember that, when it was like
her monitors. Yeah, remember when her hair was closer. So, yeah, I mean, she did eventually realize, hey, you know, like, I do get a say in this.
And at 17, like, who can blame you? Like, it's probably intimidating to be like, no, 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 I don't want to do this. But it sounds like she did find her voice in that respect. But
yeah.
So do you remember, like, when you realized that Britney was starting to get big, when she was going to blow up? Like, did you have a moment on that tour when you were like, oh, this is getting crazy? This is a big deal.
Yes. So we would stop at different places to eat along the road. And we stopped at a Miami Subs, which I don't even think they have anymore. And the night before, we had stopped somewhere else and nobody had said anything. And we walked into that Miami Subs and got bombarded. It was literally like 24 hours. I mean, it was so fast the way that it happened. It was like 1 minute you could go somewhere and the next minute you couldn't. It was that fast.
That's so wild. And what do you think it was that really pushed it over the edge? Like, radio play time?
Yeah, I think Baby One More Time finally started to reach the pinnacle of what it became. I think that had to be what it was.
How amazing to be on that ride. I heard you on James's podcast say that you sort of got the best end of the deal because you got to go to all the cool places, but you could still go to Whole Foods after. So were there any crazy, like, fan interaction stories that you can remember?
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. Oh, everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, because you got to think, like, you know, I was there for NSYNC. I was there for Britney. So I feel like I've lived my whole life, like, being like, okay, like, let the person eat dinner. You know, lots of that, lots of interrupting things. And, you know, most of the time people are gracious, but they're also human. And sometimes they just want to eat dinner, or sometimes they just want to buy some makeup at the mall or something. And people don't realize how isolating it messes with your mind. It really does. When you can't, like, think about it, Justin Timberlake cannot walk into public. Period. And it messes with you, especially with your young mind. And so lots of crazy fans. I was always the one. And because, you know, I was always a little bit older than everyone else, I was always kind of like Mama Kel. And so I'd be like, Britney is eating her lunch right now. Give her a minute. She's very gracious, but just give her a second. So for the most part, fans are pretty, I mean, you always get crazy ones every once in a while, but for the most part, they're very respectful.
Okay.
So Kelly, you mentioned NSYNC. Obviously, they're everywhere right now.
Oh my God.
We just can't believe that Justin sang at your wedding. There's this iconic picture of him also changing a Cabbage Patch doll at your baby shower.
Oh my gosh. The book from my baby shower looks like just nothing but famous people's autographs.
Oh.
It was all of NSYNC. It was Nikki DeLoach. You guys know Nikki?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Christmas movie queen.
Yeah.
I love her. I can't even remember who else was there, but it's always funny to show people that book because they're like, hilarious. But yeah, it was just like anyone else's baby shower. We played games and they played the games too. It was weird. It was very weird. I mean, it's weird now.
Right.
But like Justin singing at my wedding and stuff, like it wasn't weird then because we were friends. So when NSYNC formed and Justin and JC moved back to Orlando because they had both kind of been doing their own thing. And then Chris was like, hey, you want to come be in my group? And then whatever. Mm-hmm. JC called me and was like, I'm coming back to Orlando. We're forming this group. And I was like, oh, God, boy band. No. And at the time, we had a little recording studio in our house. And they came over to my house to record some stuff. And my mom loves telling the story about how she was downstairs. And she was like, I looked at your dad and I was like, they're awful.
Oh, no.
So she's like, what do I know? I obviously didn't know anything. And Justin also slid down my mother's banister. And she said, Justin Timberlake, don't you ever do that in my house again.
Oh, my gosh. So they were like your brothers, basically.
They really were. Yeah, Justin and I especially became super close. We went to like a Sting concert together and Janet Jackson and Usher, I think. And then we went to movies and me and JC and Justin hung out a lot, but especially me and Justin. We just got super close. He was like my little brother. So when I got married, it just made sense. Like I wanted him to sing. But what's funny is that tape I keep private.
Fair. Can I ask what he sung or is that off limits?
No, that's fine. He sang a song by Brian McKnight.
Oh.
That's on Brian McKnight's first album.
Okay.
And I can't even think of the name of it right now.
It's not the 1-2-3 one, is it?
No. It's from the album that had I'll get it. Hold on.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Anyway, okay, that's okay.
Yeah. It's not a song that anyone, it's a song that I loved. I've loved Brian McKnight my whole life. My husband and I, that our song is Back at One. And actually on my 21st birthday, I was sitting in the nail salon getting my nails done and my phone rang and it was Justin. And he was like, I have a surprise. And I was like, what? And the next thing I knew, Brian McKnight was on the phone singing me happy birthday.
Stop. Oh my God. Stop it. Oh my God. That's so thoughtful. That's like a really nice.
I know. Very thoughtful.
Can I just ask, when he sang at your wedding, I don't know where this was in the timeline. Was he Justin Timberlake of NSYNC with an album out at that time or were they on the precipice?
They were on the precipice. Yeah. So NSYNC had formed and everything and they were all at my wedding, but they hadn't, like, they weren't NSYNC.
Gotcha.
They were big in Germany, but the U.S. still didn't know.
Right. Yeah. That's so funny. Like, I remember when they came back to America, it was, like, so refreshing because they were like, no one knows who we are. You know, of course, eventually they wanted people to know who they were. But from being in Germany, where fans are very fanish. Awesome. But yes, it's very strange with NSYNC being everywhere right now. It's really bizarre.
Have you heard their new song? And I'm sure you can also point to your kids and be like, see, this is why Y2K is cool. Like,
right. Now. Yes, I've heard it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see Trolls. And I know a whole lot of stuff that other people don't know.
Stop. Say that.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're not going to badger you for all the details that you know right now, at least. But we'd love to hear more about the relationships that you still have with the guys and the friendships that you've maintained over time.
Well, I've maintained a friendship with Justin's mom. We ran a business during COVID called buybuybuy.com, B-U-Y-B-U-Y. We sold NSYNC merch, like authentic, original NSYNC merchandise.
Why didn't I know about this?
Everyone was like, what happened? And I was like, we ran out of stuff. We didn't have anything else to sell. We sold all of it. But let me tell you guys, in the process of that, that was so much fun. We found Justin's denim suit that he wore.
No.
We found so many, like, costumes they wore on award shows. Like, it was so fun to go through all that stuff. But, yeah, so we did that business during COVID for, like, a year and a half.
Wow.
So I've remained really good friends with her. And then I don't live too far from Chris, and I see Chris. So my husband is a professional golfer, and he just played in a golf tournament with my ex-husband, Chris, and Chris Kirkpatrick.
Oh.
And Chris Kirkpatrick was determined that he was going to get my ex-husband and my now husband to tell some dirt about me or like tell
stirring.
Some. Yeah, he was trying to stir the pot. And it's so funny because my first husband and my husband now are both so laid back that they were like, nope. Like, we have no issues. We're fine. I was like, thank God.
How nice.
We always heard that Chris was the pot stirrer and the quote-unquote crazy one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Joey. So many high school memories with Joey. He's nuts.
We're not going to ask you to spell T you can't spell, but should fans remain optimistic and excited?
Sure.
Okay. It wasn't a no. It wasn't a no.
All right. Always.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm just saying. Who knows?
Okay.
I plead the fifth and I cannot be held responsible for anything I say.
Oh my God. That's too funny. Well, obviously we love NSYNC a lot, but Mary and I are also huge Backstreet Boys girls. So we have to ask, do you have any Backstreet Boys stories from back in the day?
I have. Was around the Backstreet Boys a lot too, obviously, because they were around too. And then when the Backstreet Boys found out about NSYNC, that was not pretty.
Wait, were you at the basketball game where Backstreet Boys and NSYNC compared notes about Lou's fraud?
No, I was not there for that. But I was there like when it became like, oh, because Lou never said anything.
Right.
It was just like, I mean, I understand why some of them were mad. It was really kind of sketchy the way that Lou, I mean, it was Lou. Right. You know what I mean?
Like the supreme sketchball.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, the moment I met that man, I was like, oh.
So he gave you the ick right off the bat.
Oh, right off the bat. Right off the bat. But my husband says I have that gauge. I know people pretty well within about 5 seconds. But yeah, so I saw the Backstreet Boys a lot. I mean, such nice guys.
Oh, good.
All good. So sweet. I think Kevin is the best. He's my favorite. I just think he has such a huge heart. He really does. And I also babysat Aaron Carter.
Stop.
Yeah. You talk about family life that was just so sad. And there was a couple times he was left alone. And so he would come and stay with us for a little bit. And just the sweetest kid. But you knew, oh, this is going to be an interesting upbringing. So sad.
So sad.
Poor Nick has experienced so much loss in his life. It's really tough. My heart really goes out to him. So
agreed.
I of course, have an affinity for NSYNC.
But understood.
I'm like, you know, I think there's a place for everybody. So I love the Backstreet Boys, too.
Boy bands are the best. Like, hello, we'll take them all.
Yeah. I mean, there's O-Town. I mean, I really was there for all of O-Town. NSYNC was kind of gone at that point, and Backstreet Boys were gone, and so they had moved kind of on to the next thing, and O-Town was the next thing, and then there was a group called Natural, and then Take Five. Mm-hmm. And then I worked for another entertainment group, and that's where B5 came into the picture, and they had a girl group called Impress. And they were lovely girls, but I basically did all the vocals for the album.
Stop. Oh, my God.
I'm going to impress all of you.
I know, right? I'm like, I should be really rich and not having to, you know,
write
prescriptions all day. Like, I should. Yeah.
Now, Kelly, I wanted to talk to you about kind of where we wanted to go next with this podcast. Obviously, I don't want you to feel like I'm skipping over your story and why you decided to leave the tour and what happened, but I don't want you to feel like there's any pressure for you to retell that story. So I just want it to be acknowledged. If you're willing or want to talk about it, we can go there or we can just move right past that. It's totally up to you.
Okay. I can give just the abridged version. We were in a city on the tour. We went to a bar, a bunch of us. And that night I didn't know what happened at the time, but I was roofied basically and ended up in a hotel room and was raped and somehow made it back. I don't remember so much of it, but I somehow made it back to my hotel room, kind of woke up, didn't know what was going on. I attempted to commit suicide the next day. And when I didn't come to call time, when I didn't make it to call time, Q, who was one of our bodyguards at the time, he came and knocked on the door. I didn't come to the door. And so he went and got hotel security and they let him in. And he called 911 and rode with me in the ambulance and was just the, like, he was like, you have worth. You're beautiful. You need to be here. I don't know what happened to you. He's like, but don't let it be the thing that, you know, takes you out of this world. And I mean, just every, I remember that part so vividly. And he died a few years ago, just suddenly. And I, his wife was a background dancer.
Angela, right?
Yeah, Angela.
Yeah.
I knew her too, but I went to his funeral and I wrote a letter to his parents. Because I wanted them to know that he saved my life. So that was like a really tough but like super special thing because I felt like, you know, he died so young and suddenly and you should never have to bury a child. And I wanted them to know that he saved me. So, yeah, that's why I ended up – because a lot of people will be like, we don't know who you are. Like, we never saw you on a video. You weren't around for very long, and that's why.
Thank you for sharing that. Very brave, and we appreciate you. Clearly, like, cue the Misty. So thank you for sharing that with us.
I think it's important to share because I feel like there are so many of us who have that same type of experience or that same – even if you – have never attempted suicide. There are so many people who feel unworthy, unloved, unseen. I think it's so important for people to know that you are loved, you are seen, you are worthy, you are supposed to be here, you do have a purpose. I think it's an important message for people to hear. So I don't mind telling it.
Well, that takes a lot of strength and we appreciate that. I'm going to move on to kind of when you reappeared back in the spotlight, at least for me, Kelly. I think it was in 2021, and it was with a tweet that you made during the Free Britney movement and about some of the things that you had witnessed regarding how Britney was treated and what had kind of gone on behind the scenes. And I'm curious, again, I thought that was very brave. What made you decide to vocalize that then?
You know, I didn't really know anything about what was going on. I went to LA in 2008 when Britney shaved her head and was like, something's going on. Something's not right. Someone's got to go try to figure out what's going on. And when I got to LA, it was really clear. Jamie had kind of taken over and then no one was allowed near her. And especially anybody that he thought was going to try to help. Lynn went as well. Justin's mom.
Oh.
And we tried to get to her, couldn't. So at that point, we were like, what are you going to do? And then it got like when we were going through bins, when we had the online store, I've never shared this before. We found her wardrobe from Crossroads. We found the necklace that like she had made for Justin that had their birthstones in it. And we found so much stuff and it made me really sad. And so I was on Twitter and I think I saw something about Free Britney and I was like, Free Britney, what's that about? And so I started to look into it. I didn't know what a conservatorship was. And I certainly didn't know that she was in one. And so the more that I looked into things and knowing what I know about her family, I was like, okay, so is there anybody that's going to advocate for her that knows her, that doesn't give a crap that they signed an NDA? Because of course I did. But I contacted a lawyer and I was like, hey, I have something to say and I witnessed some things. Is there any way I could write a letter and send it to the judge? And the lawyer was like, you know, if there's something criminal going on, an NDA doesn't apply. So if she's being held against her will, if she's being forced to have a form of birth control mm-hmm. that she doesn't want, if there's, you know, any of that. I have a big heart for justice. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think that all humans should have the same rights. And I was like, okay, well, no one else is talking because they don't want to get in trouble. And no one else is talking because most of them are still in the music business and don't want to lose their job. Mm. I wasn't. I didn't have anything to lose. So I was like, all right, I'm going to tell the truth. And so that was what I did. And it was a lot. The response was a lot.
Was it good? Was it positive?
I'd say 90% of it was positive. And then there was the 10% of the people that were like, well, where were you for the past 20 years? Or why are you just now saying something? Or, oh, here she is to get her 5 minutes of fame, you know? And I want to be like, look, I have 2 kids and 3 dogs and a husband, and I work in a pharmacy. I have no skin in this game anymore, except to say that, like, somebody's got to stand up and say something. So that was what I did. But there was some backlash that was like, it was too much.
And you said Lynn went with you in 2008. It seems like they must have still cared about Britney to an extent at that time.
Lynn has stepped in several times or tried to over the years.
Wow.
To try to help. And still would, it, you know, to try to help Britney get to Britney. She's tried a bunch of times. When we were in L.A., we found out Britney was going to a certain restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so we got, because of Lynn, we got to the restaurant. Britney saw Lynn from across the room and started crying. And it just was like, ugh. It was so hard. It was devastating. At that point, I was like, this girl's traumatized. And, you know, it's like, okay, I have 2 children. If someone came in and took my children away or threatened to take my children away or was telling me I was crazy and they were taking my children away, you can bet I'd be locked in a bathroom too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, you did this to her. And the few times that I was around her after the fact, that was what it was like. It was like, wow, y'all did this to her.
So there was a clear change, you would say, after when you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Unfortunately, not surprised to hear that. What are your thoughts on her book that's coming out in 2 weeks?
It's so funny because I feel like everyone's scared. I feel like everyone who's ever like known her or worked for her is like, oh, crap, what's this book going to say? I feel like Britney didn't write the book.
That's what I think. But
so, I mean, I think it was ghostwritten, and I also feel like it was very heavily edited. I could be completely wrong, but I think people are probably going to be disappointed that it's not going to be like this tell-all thing that they think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a lot of stuff that people know already, but it's just her telling it. So I'll be interested to see what's in it.
Do you think she's being kind of like misunderstood on social media right now? Like, is this Britney just kind of being silly, or is this trauma?
It's trauma, I think. As someone who's experienced a lot of trauma in my life and who is I am alive because of intensive therapy and the right combination of meds. And everything that Britney has gone through, as far as from a very young age, with her family, with paparazzi, with relationships, with people. And then, you know, I know a lot about medicine because I work in a pharmacy. And if you're on lithium for an extended period of time, your brain is like mush.
Yeah.
You don't really recover from that. And so it's so hard for me to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really hard for me to watch because it's just not her. It's not to me. It's not her. I don't want to make any assumptions because everyone thinks they know, and I don't. I don't know. I do know 2 people who still talk to her, and the things that I have heard is that she's just not doing well. So,
oh,
Well, and the mom, you know, the mama and me and the person I am, I want to like hug her and rescue her and put her in my car. And
yeah, me too.
Yeah. And, like, I remember tweeting or posting something when Demi Lovato went through everything that she went through. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you don't owe anyone an album or a book or a tour. You no. don't owe anyone anything. We want you to live. We want you to be happy and alive. And if that means you need to move to an island, do what you need to do. I think the best thing for Britney would be for her to move out of LA and just live her life.
And I'm so sorry that this second half of our conversation took kind of a sad turn. No, that's okay. That's all right. I want to try to end it on a semi-positive note. And so I have two final questions. Kelsey, you might have another as well, but I want your favorite memory, like positive memory with Britney.
Okay. I have two. The first one was her reaction when we saw the stage and she realized that, like, oh, okay, I'm going on tour. And she kind of turned around to all of us that were standing there and she had tears running down her face. And she was like, this is for me. And we were like, yeah, we know. And she was like, all of this is for me. Like, it has my name on it. And, like, how did this happen? Then we all started crying. And I'm Southern. I have a rule. No one cries alone in my presence. So we all started crying with her. So that's one of my favorite memories. And then another favorite memory was she always checked on me because she knew that I had a kid at home. And so she'd always kind of pop in and be like, you doing okay? Like, have you talked to Evan? How's everything going? And so one day sometimes we would take a bus to the venue from a hotel and she was like, come sit next to me. And so she wanted to know all about Evan and she wanted to know if I was missing Evan and is there anything that she could do to make it better, to make it easier? Because I would cry every time I would think about it. And then we made the jokes about the people who had showed up at the concert with their NSYNC tattoos.
Real tattoos? Oh, my God.
Like the flame. Remember the flame logo?
Yes.
Yes. They had real NSYNC tattoos.
Whoa.
And she was dating Justin at the time, so that made it even funnier. But just her compassion, you know, like, I miss that. I missed seeing that part of her. And my favorite memories of her are her being selfless and are her being concerned about other people. And looking back, I think she neglected being concerned about herself.
God.
Yeah. Sorry, that wasn't happy.
No. Well, it's okay. I'm just appreciate you sharing all of it with us. And I will say, for my final question, you know, we are not, you know, a top 10 podcast, but we definitely chart and we've been making waves. So you nice. Never know who's going to hear this. But if you could say something to Britney Spears right now, what would you say?
Oh, gosh. I would say, Britney, I love you. And I am in awe that you have made it through what you made it through. And you owe it to yourself to do all the work that you have to do to be a whole, healed human. And whatever that looks like, however that looks like, and wherever you need to be for that to happen, and whoever needs to be around you for that to happen, you tell me how to make it happen and I'll do it. That's what I would tell her.
I believe you. I believe you would.
I would. But I would do that for you, and I don't know you.
You that's would? You're so sweet.
That's just how I am, you know? My husband says I got extra, extra, extra doses of empathy. Oh, so
that's heavy.
It is. It's a blessing and a curse sometimes, for sure.
Oh, it most certainly is. Well, Kelly, my final question for you is, where can our listeners follow you and keep up with what you're up to?
Yeah. So what is it? So
I can plug it. I have it.
Oh, well, I'm Kelly Klinger on Facebook. If your parents are still on there, I think I'm at Kel Kling.
Kel Kling, K-E-L-C-L-I-N-G.
Yes. Is that on Instagram?
That's Instagram. Is Twitter different?
I think Twitter might be my name.
Okay. We'll get it. We'll get a Twitter too. Kelly Klinger.
K-E-L-L-Y-C-L-I-N-G-E-R. Yeah. So that's how they can get in touch with me. But please don't send me anything mean because I
No one better send Kelly anything mean.
Our listeners are so kind because we always reinforce them. Like, if you leave us a review, make it 5 stars and really kind to us. But if you have constructive feedback, like, send it on the DL and we won't.
Right. I know, right. Like you said, for the most part, people are nice. But every once in a while, you'll get somebody in there.
A troll, and not the NSYNC kind, which are the good kind.
I know, right? Oh, I can't wait.
Kelly, I know you have 3 dogs and 2 kids and your husband to spend time with. So we appreciate you immensely. This was so wonderful getting to speak with you and just sharing all your stories. It's so awesome for us.
Thank you guys so much for asking me. I did that podcast with James and said I wasn't going to do anymore because I just needed a break. So yeah, this is the first podcast that I've done.
It's an honor.
2 years, I think. So I really appreciate you guys asking me to be on here, and it's a great meeting you two.
You as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelly.
Bye.
Bye, you guys.
Bye. Oh my God. So that was our interview with Kelly. How cool was that?
It was amazing. I mean, I am so grateful that she took the time to speak with us and shed some serious light on these things that we've always wondered about. And it was just so cool to hear her confirm all of the things about Brittany that I know we all hope to be true, like how involved she was, how sweet she was to everyone around her. And like, I mean, oh my God, those NSYNC little nuggets. Holy shit.
I think one of these days we're going to have her on for a part 2 and get deeper because she has so much information and is just such a fun person. Nice, so fun. Sweet angel to have on. So Kelly, thank you. We hope you all enjoyed listening to that as much as we did doing it. But Kels, we skipped this in the beginning because we just wanted to get right to it. Any Y2K news for us to know or things you want to debrief on?
Oh my God, there's so many things. Okay, first on our list, since we talked about NSYNC this whole episode, we have to debrief on our predictions versus reality of their new song. So I'm not trying to be like an I told you so girly, but I'm going to be an I told you so girly because I feel like I totally called it that it was going to be like Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC, but I guess it was swapped. It's like NSYNC and Justin Timberlake, the credits on the song, which is interesting.
I would love to know like what the reason is for that. Like, what is that?
Right. I bet it helps with streams because he's so active on all the platforms. But either way, I know that all the instructions for the NSYNC girlies is to keep streaming, buy their new Christmas vinyl that's coming out, show the support so that hopefully we can get our tour because I know that's what everyone is working towards. So we're going to stay optimistic. We're going to channel our inner Kelly and just keep the faith alive for NSYNC. So my second news of the week is Paris Hilton has a new TV show being developed about her life and the impact of Y2K tabloid culture. It's going to be produced by A24. So I'm expecting it to be super gritty and sexual, and I can't wait.
I mean, this is going to be like Y2K textbook 101 because Paris was such a fixture during this time. And I feel like this is going to be required watching for all our listeners.
100%. So we're going to keep a close eye on that project as it gets further developed. And then finally, this may be kind of random, but Mary, have you ever watched The Masked Singer?
Okay, so sometimes when it's on, and I know where you're going with this. I watched when Nick was on, okay?
When Nick was on, right. So this show first came into my orbit when Nick was on it, obviously. And then this season has been getting a lot of buzz because Tom Sandoval of Bravo shame, I was going to say fame, but shame. I'm going to say shame for him, has been rumored to be one of the singers. But on our feeds, we've been seeing some speculation that perhaps our boy Kevin Richardson from Backstreet Boys is one of the contenders. I personally do not believe that it's Kevin. I think the clues, I guess they like give you clues around the person. I just feel like we'd see a lot more about Kentucky and like the Kansas City Chiefs than we have. But maybe I'm missing something.
Some background. Like 2 weeks ago when the first one aired, my Twitter feed was inundated with a lot of Backstreet Boys fans that I I'm friends with. They know their stuff, okay? And they were like, Kevin Richardson is on The Voice as the s'more or whatever it was.
The and s'more! I think that's so funny. It's like a s'more that you eat.
It's so funny. And so I didn't see it. I didn't listen to anything. I just carelessly flipped it to Kelsey and said, oh, Kevin's on The Voice or Kevin's on The Masked Singer. And like just trusting my sources. And Kelsey responded very meticulously and accurately, like, XYZ, XYZ, these are the reasons why it's absolutely not Kevin. And I was like, oh, shit, I just sent her a ton of fake news. And now I'm seeing, after like a couple of weeks of this been going on, everybody on my feed is also starting to have doubts. But it just shows that we know our Backstreet shit. As soon as I went back and watched it, I was like, that's not Kevin's voice. No. Like, what are we talking about?
A lot of people are like, it's his mannerisms. And again, I think it's just because we want to see them on our TVs again. So we're all just like being our DeLulu, but delightful selves. But I was like, I really don't think that's it. And it just doesn't seem like his kind of thing that he'd do.
No, I mean, like you see, you know, Brian's releasing songs. AJ's doing stuff. Howie's doing stuff. Nick's tour is happening. Hopefully see some of you next weekend or in Boston. But Kevin's literally just like laying low. And I just think that's his kind of vibe when the boys don't have something going on. So I have completely changed my perception on that.
Maybe we're wrong. Who knows? Also, are you so excited for Nick?
I'm so excited for Nick. He performed his first couple shows last week and it looks like it's going to be fun.
Amazing. We can't wait to hear all about it.
And thanks everyone for voting in our merch polls. We'll have some exciting updates on that soon.
Oh my God, the merch. It got heated a little bit.
I know. A lot of these races were close and didn't help us at all because we're just going to have to keep both of them now. But we're too close to call. But
you guys actually weren't helpful at all.
But thank you. And I think that's all we got for this week. Please rate us 5 stars. Write us a nice review. And we will read it on an episode. And thank you personally.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.